for an organization called New Futures, which tells you nothing about it. So New Futures is a nonprofit, nonpartisan advocacy organization working in New Hampshire to reduce underage alcohol problems and increase access to drug treatment. We're really lucky to be the beneficiaries of a WISE charitable foundation. The New Hampshire Charitable Foundation decided about 10 years ago to invest significant resources in looking at alcohol, tobacco, and other drug policy, rather than taking a donation they had just received and giving it out in mini grants. There is more to prevention than programs, and in the next 15 minutes, I intend to share with you our experience working with several communities in the state to help them move beyond prevention programming and toward changing community norms and policies that support healthier norms. New Hampshire is one of 18 control states, which means we rely really heavily on revenue from sales of alcohol in the state. If anybody's been to New Hampshire lately and driven down the highways, you might have seen that there are actually liquor stores on the major highways, particularly as you enter the state. We're also, the 1.3 million of us in the state are really proud, okay, I'm not, but the rest of them are, of the live free or die motto and take it very seriously. And finally, on sort of looking at New Hampshire, we do have the second largest legislative body in the country. The only one larger than us is the one across town at the Capitol. We have 400 state representatives and 24 senators. So most of what New Futures does, compared to how many do you have in Texas, Katie? what New Futures mostly does is focused on those 424 elected officials at the state level. We have a policy director who tracks policies related to underage drinking and related to treatment, and we have actually a lobbyist who we also have around to help out with that. But what we're best known for is our, what we call the Community Leadership Initiative, which is an advocacy training program. And it's grassroots people brought from all over the place who come and spend a day with us, and they learn about our two main issues, and they learn how the legislative process works in New Hampshire, what those 424 people do, and they learn where they can insert themselves into the process. And then as issues come up, when there's a bill that it seems like they might be able to help with, they call their representatives, they write to them, they email them, and they've been pretty successful. So for example, by keeping a close eye on the budget process last year, we brought those people to bear and were able to increase the funding for alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention, intervention, and treatment by several million dollars, which is huge in New Hampshire. Last year, to help them a little bit more, we brought them on a tour of the State House. And third from the left there is the Speaker of the House, who actually has been through our Community Leadership Initiative along with 12 other elected officials in New Hampshire. So not only do we have grassroots advocates, we also have people on our side who are sitting as elected officials. Most of the alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention work in New Hampshire is done by community coalitions. They range from little parent groups with a little bit of local funding to federally funded, what are they called? I forget. Anyway, SAMHSA-funded people with $100,000 that they get to use at the community level. And really, there's not a lot of infrastructure for public health in New Hampshire, and these people are it when it comes to a lot of prevention efforts at the local level. And a lot of their coordinators have also been participants in our advocacy training. In addition to training advocates, New Futures seeks to make relevant and accurate information available to the people of New Hampshire. And one of the ways we did that recently was to take the Institute of Medicine report that came out in 2005 on underage drinking and create a state-specific strategy that responded to that and gave people in New Hampshire who think they're different from people absolutely everywhere else a way of looking at what to do about underage drinking. There are about 50 recommendations in it that are divided up into state-level recommendations and community-level recommendations. And within that, they're also divided into themes. So there are recommendations for public awareness at the state and the community level, recommendations for education, how to limit access to alcohol, ideas for collaboration and coordination, and also evaluation so that we can figure out if what we're doing works. I was hired about 18 months ago to coordinate that state strategy, and at the same time, the staff decided after 8 years of successfully training advocates at the state level to look at training advocates at the local level. And they decided between our two issues of increasing access to treatment and reducing underage alcohol problems that reducing underage alcohol problems was much more approachable at the local level. There are a lot more things you can do about it locally. And so we decided to take our advocacy training and bring it down to the local level. And it was an interesting process. So we took our normal agenda and squished it into about half the normal time and then added more people to it. And we worked with some of the coalitions that we were aware of through our other efforts so that we had that link at the local level. They presented data from the local level. We presented policy as a prevention strategy, which is new to a lot of people and that a lot of community coalitions have a hard time getting their heads around. And we selected some of the options for policy change from that state strategy that I referred to. It was really helpful to have some sort of document so that it didn't just look to people like we were making this up as we went along, but so that we could refer them back to that if they needed ideas as they move forward and if they wanted to know where we came up with our weirdo ideas, to be able to say there's evidence behind this and this is where it's coming from. So we chose two communities. One was an entire county, Belknap County, New Hampshire, and the other one was the city of Manchester. So Belknap County is the home of Lake Winnipesaukee and the annual Wearsby Beach Motorcycle Week, one of the things that New Hampshire is famous for. And the process in Belknap County was complicated a little bit by working in a whole county. So we had 11 municipalities, 8 police departments, a whole bunch of school systems. You get the picture. It made it a very interesting process. But we also had a great community coalition and another organization formed under the auspices of the county. And so we worked with them to provide lists of all the decision makers in the county, everybody from the police chiefs to their U.S. senator, so that people who participated in the training could really figure out how to intervene at any level they chose. As I said, we also worked in Manchester, which is the largest city in New Hampshire, which I know is barely a city in some of your states. And in Manchester, they have a well-established community coalition, as well as a really involved police department and one of the few local health departments in the state. So we worked with all of those bodies to plan this event and to help the participants move from talking to kids and considering that prevention to the idea of talking to decision makers. We brought in people like the mayor and the chief of police to introduce themselves and make that whole idea of talking to them about these issues seem more realistic. We realized that there are a lot of different sectors that are involved in creating an environment that is supportive of change and a lot of places that you can advocate for change. It's not always about laws. Sometimes it's about what reporters can do, what the media can do to frame issues differently so that people understand them differently. Instead of just saying there was a party and how many kids got arrested at the party, you could talk about the scope of the problems and why we bother to arrest kids for having a party. Event planners can put strategies into place that will make it less likely for young people to have access to alcohol or that will limit the advertising. Local law enforcement can take underage drinking more seriously. All sorts of different ways, and by looking at the various sectors, we felt like we were more likely to engage the people in the room. Because of everybody in the room, everybody feels connected to a different sector in their community, and if you only look at one, you're going to miss some of the people. As an example of what I'm talking about, we had a woman in Belknap County who lived next door to someone who worked for a radio station, and she'd never really thought about talking to him about underage alcohol problems, which was something she thought about a lot. But she realized that she could talk to him about inappropriate comments that the DJs made on the air. She could talk to him about the advertising that the station aired. She could even talk to him about maybe getting a PSA on the air. And until coming together with this group and having these types of conversations, she'd never considered that idea. So we learned a lot, as I said before. And the mic is picking up my turning page. One of the things we learned, which shouldn't have been a surprise, but it's really difficult to keep people focused on that idea of the environment and sort of public health as many of us know it, as opposed to the individual. So for example, we talked about public awareness campaigns focused on adults. It's one of the recommendations in the Institute of Medicine report. It's one of the recommendations we kept in our state strategy. But somehow we kept ending up with people sliding back down to parent education programs. And there's a difference because a public awareness campaign is really changing the environment, changing the messages that people hear and see as they walk down the street versus targeting a few people and having them get some more information. And in order to change the norms, we need to really help people stay at that level of public awareness or even higher than awareness and getting people more involved rather than letting them slide back down. We also realized that while we were standing there saying you can't just do prevention programs, you need to plan for what happens after people walk out the door, we spent a lot of time planning the program, planning the afternoon or the evening of this workshop, and not enough time planning for what happened after they walked out the door. And I didn't realize that until about 3 weeks ago when I was talking to one of the coalition coordinators who we worked with, and he pointed that out. And it was such one of those moments of how just silly. So good lesson to learn. This one, we did realize up front that working at the state level was different from working at the local level, which is why we engaged community partners. New Futures is known for its environmental focus at the state level, but we engaged those people at the community level because we knew we didn't know what was going on in the communities. But we missed the fact that it's a lot easier to keep track of a state policy agenda and let people know when there are issues they can act on, versus at the local level when it's really more up to those individuals to figure out what they can act on. And so that made state and local advocacy very different things that we hadn't really thought about. And finally, the champions can be hugely instrumental so that instead of having to turn to us, they could turn to someone in their own community or someone in the community could provide some leadership. For example, in Manchester, we, as I said, involved the police department. And the police department was great because there were several people in the room who were active in their neighborhood watch groups. New Hampshire had recently passed a social host liability law, and they realized that they could get their neighborhood watch groups to keep an eye out for underage drinking parties, and the police department helped them connect that in with what the neighborhood watch groups were doing, and it was just some nice connections that were made. We also found that there were some people who were really helpful and some other people who we would have loved to have be helpful. So, like I said, the health department and other government entities are great people to work with. National resources and references, it's great here at APHA, like you're in a room with someone from the CDC just about every minute of the day. But that doesn't happen in New Hampshire very often. But, of course, in this day and age, we have really easy access to those types of resources. I've been in two workshops this afternoon with the University of Minnesota Alcohol Epidemiology Program, one of my favorite resources, because they have lists of policies. And I could just say, here, go to this website, and there's some ideas for what you can do with your community events. So taking advantage of all of those resources that are out there, the SAMHSA has an online training in environmental strategies. So if people thought this was interesting and they wanted more, they could go do that. So taking advantage of all those things. The New Hampshire Public Health Association doesn't do a lot of advocacy work. We wish it did. But if there are other state-level organizations that are doing advocacy work, they would have been great to link in with this and help connect the participants with, connect them to the participants, connect the participants to them. Could be a good thing. Finally, we couldn't have done this without some funding. And a lot of community foundations are now looking at public policy and advocacy. It's a direction they're moving in, so it never hurts to ask for their help. Really quickly, what we have going on next, we're actually doing a third pilot because we learned so much last year that we thought we'd try again. So right now, Coos County is New Hampshire's most rural county, and last week I was up in Lancaster and we gave an overview of what policy looks like as a prevention strategy, and we brought in people who were using it at the local level to present that. So we had an enforcement guy from the Liquor Commission. We had someone who talked about school policy. We had a variety of people talking about what they were already doing in that community. Instead of having the decision makers, we had the people who were already being influential. And next week, we're going to really do some skill building, because that's one of the things that makes our statewide training so effective is that we make people practice calling their legislator on a little plastic Fisher-Price phone. So we're going to do that piece next week. We also have advanced training that we're doing with our previously trained advocates. So they've been trained at the state level. We're giving them more in-depth training, which we hope they'll take home to their own communities to be able to do more advocacy locally. We're really fortunate right now that the Department of Health and Human Services in New Hampshire is focusing on environmental strategies, and it really all comes from a mandate from SAMHSA, which has funded the Strategic Prevention Framework and is looking at different approaches to prevention. So this is really exciting. The other exciting thing about it, and the reason I showed this map, is that the entire state is a color. So it's not about haphazard coalitions. They've actually made sure that the entire state is comprehensively covered and planned for with 10 prevention groups. So that will be good progress. And finally, our ongoing advocacy training that I started with continues. And so we hope with all of this that we'll be able to continue to create advocacy opportunities at the local level. And that's it. Thank you very much for your attention.